Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of September, recording at a late-ish 10:12 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, the big story, which many of you are probably getting tired of hearing, I think we all are, is concerns the U.S. action and actually global action now regarding serious chemical weapons. Now, the major factor here is that the possibility of a U.S. strike against Assad's military equipment appears off for at least several weeks, if not permanently. Vladimir Putin, I think, is obviously enjoying a certain amount of U.S. discomfort, although there will also be some U.S. relief at all levels. But my view is that Putin will obviously do what he thinks is in Russia's interests. And he does not want serious chemical weapons to fall into the hands of extremists, which could too easily happen if Assad was overthrown anytime soon. Now, from the U.S. perspective, I suggest a surrender of chemical weapons, and mind you, that's not at all guaranteed, but hypothetically, that would be a far more efficient solution than trying to bomb them or sufficiently weaken Saddam's position. This is Saddam, so that's a nice Freudian slip there, isn't it? I should add Assad's position, forcing him to actually turn those weapons over. Okay, now, next worry, tapering, because there is a consensus that feels that we're likely to see some Fed tapering, and I think the meeting's now on the 17th, so that's next week, so we will soon find out. And I've noticed that, two or three, at least, hedge fund managers have been making some ominous comments about what happens with tapering. Now, I tend to take those relatively lightly for the most part, because they may be talking a build-up of a short book. And with stock markets rallying here, that's given them certainly an opportunity to do so at higher levels. The fact is that no one actually knows for sure exactly what's going to happen as tapering commences. But we may see markets roiled a little bit. My own view is that we're not going to see a big sell-off, because this has been telegraphed so widely here right now, and I haven't sold any of my own equity portfolio positions, and I'm running some long positions at the moment, as you are probably aware, and I reviewed and discussed those yesterday if you're not. Okay. So, what do we make of it all? Well, my feeling is that there are probably still some short positions in the market that were put on in anticipation of a U.S. military strike. And that has been, in my opinion, the key factor behind the strength of the rally that we've actually seen this week. Now, following two big days to the upside on Monday and Tuesday, we've had a quieter day here today, and I'll just run through it very, very quickly here for you. But in the Asia-Pacific region, most of the indices were higher, and where we saw declines, it was not by very much. Japan was slightly mixed on the day. So was China, but a little fraction steadier overall when you net it all out. Hong Kong was a fraction, really a small fraction lower. And Taiwan, Australia, had modest gains of a half a percent or more. And India, slightly higher overall. Thailand had one of the better gains, up 1.29%. These ASEAN indices have been correcting deeply oversold positions, and they've also been helped by a firmness of their currencies as the dollar has fallen back. Philippines in Asia had the best gain, up 2.06%. Now, looking at the European stock markets, it was a quiet day here as well, but mostly higher. I see the Netherlands was down slightly, but only a third of a percent. And the Italian MIB up 1.33%. I think that was the best. Yes, that was the best gain overall. Second best was the Spanish IBEX index, and that was up 0.84 of a percent. Now, on Wall Street, the new, more exciting Dow that I commented on yesterday with the three new replacement shares, and they are most definitely autonomies, outperforming the likes of the deadbeat Alcoa. And the Dow is up nearly 0.9%. The S&P up a third of a percent, just under a third of the percent. Next, the Nasdaq was actually down a tiny bit here today, and the reason for that was Apple. When Apple did not release any new significant bells and whistles yesterday, just a variation in their product line. I think some people were disappointed because they hark back to Steve Jobs with the occasional and increasingly frequent, I should say, wonders that he would reveal at his presentations. But 'twas not the case, and Apple shares, I think they closed down around $27 here today, and so that pulled the Nasdaq a little lower overall. But general background, as I say, is still supported, I think, by this short covering and some relief buying because we're not going to get a bombing raid on Syria. Now, looking at long-dated government bonds, again, that's another war sector that those yields came off here somewhat today, but they were only talking about slight moves. The U.S. dollar index is a little bit easier here, and I noticed that the euro has pushed back up over 133 again today, and the Australian dollar, that's been creeping up slowly. It's at 0.9330. Sterling had a good day, up to 1.5825 here. We haven't seen that for a while. And those bombed out ASEAN currencies have also been steadying generally. The precious metal sector, which, well, gold and silver at least came down quite sharply, and platinum a bit as well, when it was apparent that we were not going to see a bombing attack on Syria. And but prices are a little bit, a fraction steadier here today, very, very small gains. And to just give you silver, is at $23.22, and gold, as I speak, is up about $2.50 to 1366. Now, what we also want to see are some of these other commodities. Industrial metals, a little bit mixed. Looks like definitely a little bit mixed. No big moves in here today. And crude oil, which had fallen quite sharply as some long hedges were taken off when it became apparent that an attack was not going to occur. But a fraction steadier here today, 107.75 for WTI and 111.61 for the Brent. I think there's scope for this to come down further, oil futures that is, again, provided there are no further alarming developments in the Middle East. But obviously the region is unstable, and unfortunately that's reflected in the oil price, which is a bit of a headwind for the global economy, but not a serious one, I would say, at this stage. What we really need to see, of course, is more fracking, particularly producing the natural gas. But that's a slow process outside of several countries led by the United States. And anything else? No, quiet day in the grains and beans, but a fraction higher in terms of their prices. So all in all, a quieter day than what we've been accustomed to here in the last couple of weeks. Note, all the very best to all of you.